Hey, 1 hour in the books. It's The Drive, Sports 1140, KHTK 704. Time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento. Nate Goodyear, Brian May with you. 2 hours left in the show. Gary St. Jean coming up an hour from now. We'll talk a little hoops and Bay Area stuff and things. If you missed the first hour of the show, and in fact, maybe like if you've been asleep for, say, the last 15 so hours, 12 hours, you might have missed a little something going on in the Kings game last night. It didn't go their way. You know, and you know, if there's a slow burn on a 20 to nothing run, like that's kind of how it happened too. I mean, it's amazing. There's nothing that stops the momentum of this Warriors team. There's nothing that can seize it back in your favor if you're the Kings. This team is a buzzsaw.
So I have daughters that are 12 and 8, and they were watching the game with me last night at home. And as they were watching, it was when the game was tied early in the third. And it's bedtime for them. They go brush their teeth, and I'm literally tucking in my 12-year-old. And she said, "Dad, how's the Kings game now?" And I said, "Well, they're down by 30 now."
No.
She just like shot up and said, "Did you say 30?" I did. In fact, I did.
A 42-point third quarter.
Wow.
It racks it up quickly. But what can you say? I mean, it's the All-Star break. They had, and there are a lot of things too, that Brian, that I kind of talk me off the ledge with this. I mean, number one,
I don't know that I can do that, but let's go.
I'm saying there are things that put me at ease.
Okay.
Because number one, this is the Warriors, man.
Correct.
They've only lost 9 times this year.
Correct.
Statistically speaking, it's going to be a fluke if they lose.
Right.
Just like when they lost to the Kings at Golden One Center, a week and a half ago now?
And now last night is in Oakland.
I mean, basically, everything on paper was stacked against the Kings. They'd been playing above their heads recently with 4 straight wins.
Right.
And that's not to say that they can't win 5 in a row. But they're not that good of a team. Like, they're bound to lose pretty quick. The Warriors are much better in terms of,
absolutely,
you know, actual quality.
Consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then you have the part where the Warriors had their fluke loss in Denver just a couple of nights ago.
And had their fluke loss in Sacramento just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the fact that the Kings beat them here. And there was definitely some revenge to that game.
And it's not – I mean, what's kind of crazy, too, is if you – some of the things on paper, like Draymond Green getting ejected. If you tell me that, I would go back to the game at Golden One Center. When you look at that win, you're like, oh, Steve Kerr got ejected.
Right.
You know, Draymond Green was out for a little bit with an injury.
Right.
You know, all those type of things. If you told me those things were going to happen, I'd say, hey, the Kings have a pretty good chance. Conversely, with this one, you say, hey, the Kings are up at halftime. Draymond Green gets ejected. Hey, that should be good.
Good second half. The Kings tend to be better in the second half. Nope, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
If you're going to take a bright spot from that, can you look at the fact that Jaeger emptied the bench and played the rooks for a substantial portion of the fourth period? And was there anything that you saw from any of those guys that you liked?
There's still so much.
Yeah.
There's still so much with those. I don't think any of them are even close to ready. And I can't – I mean, with Skull at least – you can kind of see semblances of it there. I still don't get it with Papa Giannis.
I don't either.
Other than the fact that he's big.
And I want to. I really want to. He had a meaningless dunk last night because somebody set him up very well. I want to see, because I heard so much about him after they drafted him. I had no idea who he was before the draft. But after they drafted him, I'm expecting good things. His feet are still kind of clumsy out there.
Yeah, he's got a lot
of
growing into his body to
do.
I mean, even with... you know, you knew that he wasn't going to be ready to contribute right away. They made no secret about that. And the same goes for Skull and that too. But at least, you know, with a lot of guys, even Ben McLemore in his first year, you could see that guy's got a pretty jumper. Don't know what's going to come of it, but that guy's got a pretty good jumper. You could at least project him out to be a guy that's going to hit some shots in his career.
Can't say that with Papa.
I have no idea what kind of player he's supposed to be. Is he supposed to be a rim protector? Is he supposed to be just... a big, like, name a guy in the league that you could see him project. Willie Cauley-Stein, for example, I could easily see him being a Tyson Chandler type. And, and you know, even at like a lower level, but you can see the mold, the foundation of what type of player he could be.
Don't know.
No idea.
Don't know.
But, you know, hey, that's why Vlade gets paid the big bucks and I don't.
Those guys, those rooks all played, what, eight minutes? They went into the game with about seven. between 7 and 8 minutes, I think, last night. So
they called it early, but it was about the right time.
Waved the flag at that point in time, definitely.
One of the things that did kind of bum me out was Malachi Richardson obviously getting hurt. He's going to have an MRI on what appeared to be a hamstring problem.
With less than a minute in the game, right, when it happened? It was right at a minute or so to go.
It was pretty late on. And, you know, you wonder, too, it's not like he's been getting a ton of run, but this is kind of the time of the season where he's never played this many basketball games. He's never been this far into any season, much less an NBA season.
This is when the guys hit the wall that they talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At what point for you, and I don't even know who to put this on. I do know that Pete Youngman's been the head trainer forever, and no one's ever said a bad word about Pete.
Right.
But, boy, are weird injuries piling up, you know? And these aren't – okay, the Rudy thing with the Achilles, that's a freak deal, dude. Those things happen.
Untouched.
But consistent muscle strains, Ty Lawson's dealing with the groin, Garrett Temple and Malachi Richardson with the hamstrings now, Omri Caspi's got a calf deal. At what point do you wonder, like, what are they – is this just bad luck, or what are they doing medically? Because these guys have got to be on the floor.
But is it up to Pete?
I have no idea. And that's why I said I don't want to put it on him. He's been there. He's got a good reputation.
I think Pete deals more with the after effects of those injuries, and I think it's up to the conditioning guys to prevent those injuries. But especially with the rookies, when they're hitting this wall or at least close to it and they're not used to putting their bodies through an 82-game season, you can't push those guys too much because they're just exhausted.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, it's easy for us to sit back and say, look, they're traveling on private jets and five-star hotels, but they're still, you know, you're getting into hotels at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and you're playing constantly and or practicing, and I just don't know that they can – what kind of conditioning could prevent something like what we saw last night?
Right. It's just that it's alarming to see at this point in the season.
We certainly have had more of our share if you're a Kings fan right now. Yeah.
So, and, you know, part of that, too, is – snowball effect a little bit.
Yeah,
guys are having to play a lot more minutes now.
Right. We should get news on Malachi at some point today, right? There was an MRI being taken today.
Yeah, we're keeping our eye on it, so keep it tuned on KHTK. And, you know, hopefully it's nothing too bad. But still, even with a minor strain, you're looking at possibly a couple of weeks. So.
And that means that your All-Star break is not going to be what you had. And you hope those guys can get away from basketball completely during this break, and that's probably not going to happen for him at this point. He's going to have to get treatment the entire time.
And the Kings with a rough box score all across last night. They did have five guys in double figures, but, you know, no one over 20 points. And it was just a rough one all across. 109-86, your final last night. All right, we're going to shift gears and talk a little bit of football because it's still, you know, it's off-season time, man. Franchise tags opened up yesterday, and both of the local teams have a lot to do. Plus, there are plenty of other things in the news, whether it's Chris Cooley spouting off about former 49ers GM Scott McLuhan. He had some weird things to say, and especially weird coming from a team employee on a team-owned radio station.
It's a sticky wicket.
We'll talk about that in about 5 minutes. This is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.
Radio voice of the Oakland Raiders and Draymond Green's biggest fan, Greg Papa, there on the call. San Diego is now trying to lure the Oakland Raiders. Do they have a legitimate chance?
Well, as legitimate as anyone does, it's kind of a 50-50 shot, but this isn't going to go anywhere because Mark Davis, he doesn't want anything to do with that. What he wants to do is to be able to go to either the city of Oakland or the NFL and say, hey, I've got a deal on the table. What more can you get me? This is leverage for him, so he's going to talk, but the Raiders in San Diego, I just don't see it.
But kudos to San Diego for at least trying to put something together. I think it's a crushing blow for them to lose their team.
Well, where was this guy, though, when Dean Spanos needed money?
Exactly. And that's a huge sticking point is, why didn't you do this before you lost the team that you had to begin with? And now the odds of getting any other team to go there are astronomical. But at some point in time, how many cities have to flirt with the Raiders before the city of Oakland and Mark Davis get it together and say, we can't let this happen?
Well,
and they're still nowhere near close to making it happen.
I know. And to me, a lot of that lies with Mark, and I know that he's not as rich as a lot of NFL owners, but the point, we know how the city of Oakland is. They can't afford to build that guy a stadium. I give them credit to some degree to say, dude, what do you want from us? We don't have the money. You've got the team. Come on.
And the NFL has offered up to $350 is what the figure I've seen before.
I believe so.
Somewhere around $350 million to help build that stadium. If it's not going to happen in Oakland, then just move on. But it looks like Vegas is now, because that goes back to Mark Davis. he's the one that messed that deal up with Vegas, right? With the money guys have said, you know what? We want nothing to do with you and your bad haircut.
he gets his haircut by the same guy that did it in college. Geez,
$5 special.
It's seriously the same
guy. It's awful.
He's been doing it forever. He flies to Southern California, have the same barber do his same haircut.
But it's to the point where when I see his face on television, I cannot look away. I'm mesmerized. I just stare at the hair.
New England Patriots Radio Network there. All the way back at the beginning of the season, that was the third touchdown of the game for Jimmy Garoppolo. Who is a better fit for the San Francisco 49ers, Garoppolo or Tony Romo?
This is going to be the Texas Homer in me coming out at this point in time, but I'm gonna go with Tony Romo. I think there's just more. Now, granted, there are drawbacks when you bring Romo in, but I think the track record, the experience, I'm going to go with Romo on this. But I'm not the 49er fan, and you are, so I defer your honor to the bench.
Well, I'm going to go with Garoppolo, but I don't like either of them.
Oh, you're wrong.
Romo's more established. Here's what I'm looking at, though. I don't like either of them because neither of them, to me, are going to stay healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo, for all of the hype of him, he's unproven, and he made it all of one game into the season before getting hurt. I don't like that. And the 49ers don't have the offensive line to protect either of those guys. But if you're going to put some money into a quarterback, it should maybe be someone that you think has more than 1 or 2 years left in their career.
Matt Schaub?
Ugh. Where's Matt Flynn? I mean, for crying out loud.
If you don't like option A, B, or C, then what is option D?
Colin Kaepernick. Stick
Jamarcus
with this.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's do it.
Bring back Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, well, someone.
Careful what you wish for.
I know.
That is the voice of...
That's a hot take.
Yep.
Washington Redskins sideline reporter Chris Cooley. Guys, simple question. Did he cross the line on that?
Yeah, this is not going to end well for Chris Cooley. He's the team's sideline reporter, so he gets a paycheck from Dan Snyder. He's doing his radio show on a radio station that is owned by Dan Snyder. And although he went entirely out of his way to isolate this opinion on his own and try to make it clear that he's hearing nothing out of Redskins Park on this, you don't speculate on that.
No.
Scott McLuhan has a long history with drinking problems.
Right.
He's been very open about that.
Right.
And to come out and say, can you imagine, for one second, if that came up with Katie Christensen on this radio station, she would not go anywhere near that.
No, nor should she. And people talk about you never air your dirty laundry in public. I don't even think this is airing your dirty laundry, because for me, that usually means you were behind the scenes somewhere in the locker room around the guys when you heard or saw something that you're reporting on that you probably shouldn't say. This is just a guy with his speculation. And at this point in time, that's all it is. And you know that you're working on a radio station owned by your owner and you work for a team owned by your owner. If you want to just sabotage your career, go for it. But that was a stupid assessment to make on his part.
How about a Vince Young highlight on Sports 1140? Vince Young.
Circa 05.
That was an overtime win, 30-yard rush against the Texans, I believe it was. Vince Young, he wants to play in the NFL again. Does anyone even take a flyer on the guy?
That's cute. That's all it is. He hired Lee Steinberg as his agent, right? Hiring an agent does not a comeback make. It's cute.
No one
takes a chance on him.
Yeah, because the thing about Michael Vick just retired at 36 years old, and
he
said it was because when Teddy Bridgewater went down, he didn't even get a call from the Vikings.
Right.
Said, you know what?
It's
that
time.
Probably means
that's
it's
a
time.
Hint. That's
Michael
a hint.
Vick is a guy that was successful in the league
recently
at multiple points in his career. Vince Young's never been that.
When's the last year he played in the National Football League?
Vick?
Vince.
Oh, my goodness. Couldn't tell you.
That's cute.
Couldn't
that's all
you.
It is, a cute story.
Yeah, there's your guy, happening. San Francisco, right there.
There, let's see it.
If that's the case, you in trouble.
That's, gross. Okay. Yeah, we're not going to do that. Vince Young is not going to be getting a flyer taken on him.
Not a chance.
His NFL career ended, apparently he bounced around the Bills, Packers, and Browns on the offseason practice squad, stuff like that, through 2014.
Right.
But he hasn't, he was with the Eagles in 2011, and that was it.
It's a young man's game.
Wasn't even that for Vince when he got in.
No, it never was.
Unfortunately, and what a waste, too. But, I mean, I don't know what happened behind it, why he didn't make it. I don't know that it was some sort of off-the-field thing. But when you talk about all-time great college football players.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, at least he's always going to be remembered as that.
Absolutely. And it pains California college football fans to see that. And me, University of Texas guy, I love to see the end of that game. But there's no way that this is just cute. It's all it is. It's cute.
My uncle was living in Austin at the time when they recruited Vince Young. And I remember him saying before he ever played it down, he says, dude, this guy is better than Michael Vick. He's bigger. He's faster. And as a college player, he pretty much was.
Yeah, he was. And he's huge. I mean, size-wise, he's a massive quarterback. But hey, that doesn't always mean you're going to have a career in the NFL.
I mean, we talk about guys that are going to be free agents. The 49ers could use some of them, and so are the Raiders. We're going to offer our takes on what those teams need when we come back in 5 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Nate Goodyear and Brian May with you up until 9 o'clock. We've reached the halfway point. It's the home stretch, guys, and it's Thursday, so it's almost the weekend, too. Gary St. Jean's going to join us a half hour from now. We'll talk a little shooty hoops, whether it's the Kings getting beat down at the hands of the Warriors last night, or you know, maybe whether Carmelo Anthony deserves to be an all-star, what the Cavs have in store, are the Celtics a real threat in the East now? And I guess we can start. We do want to get into this NFL free agency here in a little bit, and we'll take your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. But just real quick, I want to ask you, Brian,
yep.
As far as the Eastern Conference of the NBA is concerned, now that you got Kevin Love out, yep. The Cavs have, even before that problem, had kind of been showing some signs of weakness. And the Celtics, they're only two games back.
So describe to me again this belt that you've described to me. So give me the specifics.
Basically, the way it would work is the Cavs obviously won the title last year.
Right.
And so going into this season, they would have the championship belt, so to speak. And that belt is passed along King of the Mountain style. So if you lose, you pass on the belt to whoever it is that beat you. I kind of went back and did the math when the Kings beat the Cavs a couple of weeks back,
right?
Just to think, like, okay, you know, who would be holding it now? Have the Kings ever held it? So on and so forth. What I found was that at that time, the Heat were just coming off their buzzer-beating Dion Waiters win over the Warriors, which was their first title belt defense, because the Cavs had already given it up. There had been 16 teams to hold the belt.
This season,
the Dallas Mavericks had held it the most.
Oh, stop.
Three times the Mavericks had held it. I believe the Hawks got in there with three times as well. They at least done it twice. But most recently, the 76ers claimed it when they snapped the Heat's 13-game winning streak.
Is there a belt for the East and a belt for the West, or is there just one belt?
Just one belt all the way across the board. And now it's held by the number two seed in the East, the Boston Celtics, and Isaiah Thomas.
Well, that point I would agree with. The fact that you had Dallas holding it three times,
that's kind of a surprise.
I'm going to question that one.
Well, you know what? If you hold it three times, it means you didn't hold on to it for very long.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
So, you know, and there should be rules to this. In a title belt match like last night, there should be no technical fouls for taunting. That's the basic number one rule. No technical fouls for taunting at all. We need to go straight WWE with this. I don't know why the NBA hasn't embraced all the fun of the J.R. Smith and the Dion Waiters of the world. You know, Steph Curry shoots a 30-foot three and starts walking down the court and everyone cheers. J.R. Smith does it and he's a punk, right? Why can't we all live in that world where it's cool to hit a 35-foot jumper?
But this is a world in which you have described where the Dallas Mavericks are the Holly Holm of the NBA. I mean, a short time with the belt, and then it's gone.
Yeah, so maybe.
This is a world where Carmichael Dave, as we speak, is probably getting rubbed oil on his body by a cabana boy,
ew.
And yet I'm sitting in here filling in for him. I'm sorry to do that to you during breakfast. I'm sorry.
Some of these people are eating out
Florida
there.
Florida State Speedo on right now.
They're getting their Too Hot and Savory Sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches from McDonald's. All day, every day,
you did there.
In case you're wondering about that. But see, I guess the overlying point here, Brian, is that even in this world where the championship can change hands on almost a nightly
daily basis,
the Kings have not had their share of the pie.
Nor should they.
Ever.
Nor should they.
Not once.
Because the chefs in the kitchen aren't quite figured out the recipe yet.
Not quite there.
Yet, yeah.
That's right. I just let it play out. Okay, that's enough. Turn off the rock music. There's this guy in there with the wrestling. He comes in, he talks soccer during the break, and now he's overwhelming us with wrestling. Let's talk a little NFL, but that's why we like Matt over there. Let's talk a little NFL here. Free agency is opening up soon. The franchise tags were eligible to be designated starting yesterday. And we got both the 49ers and the Raiders that have a lot of work to do in the offseason, but both kind of coming from different ends. So what we decided we were going to do, we're going to take two sides of this. I'm going to give my takes on what I think the 49ers can use, and Brian's going to take his perspective from the Raiders side of things. So we're going to start with that. I mean, you got this Raiders team that for 15 and a half games of the season, it was a fairy tale. Comeback win, starting with week one with the gutsy call by Jack Del Rio.
To go for it.
And it was all, you know, I think all of us is, I'm not a Raiders fan, but, you know, being here on the station, I have an appreciation for when they're good. And most of all, I have an appreciation for good football. And so the whole season, there was kind of this apprehension amongst people that followed this team, fans or otherwise, because you felt like at some point the other shoe was going to drop. We can't have nice things like this. This is the Raiders. We've suffered since they let John Gruden go. Everything
Correct.
Is bad. And then, of course, it all kind of did go bad late in the season. But as good as they were, there were still plenty of flaws with this team that they need to patch up this offseason.
Well, and I want to go back to, and you mentioned the game week one of the season when Jack Del Rio went for the win as opposed to the tie. And I think that at the moment we didn't realize just how big it was, but I think that set the tone for the entire season. This is a new era with the Raiders.
Uh-huh. We're playing to win.
We are playing to win. I think Jack Del Rio has done a phenomenal job as head coach with that team. I think Derek Carr, obviously, it's so hard not to like that guy, not only what he does on the field, but his character in the locker room as well. Mm-hmm. I think if you're a Raider fan now, and they just locked up Jack Del Rio for a new contract, I think you just want more of the same. Now, granted, that said,
Jack Del Rio far exceeded my expectations,
by far,
by the way.
Because he didn't really have that much success with Jacksonville, right? I mean, he was a good coach, but
he made the playoffs a few times. I mean, his record was better than I always thought it would, but did either of us view Jack Del Rio as anything more than a...
I thought it was a good hire when they hired him. I did not expect the immediate turnaround, and just the cultural change, which is so... Kings fans talk about this all the time. We want a cultural change here. It's so hard to do that. It's very easy to talk about. We want a cultural change. We've got a new arena. We want to... But that
winning
actually
changes
happened.
The culture.
Yes. And that happened, and I think that's why I go back to that going for the win as opposed to the tie in week one. That single moment sent the message, we have changed things, and we are going to continue to. Now, granted, losing Carr late in the season, crushing to their playoff hopes. If he's healthy, things could have been a lot different for them. Their needs going into free agency and draft are obviously, I think, and we talked about this, running back and anything to shore up that defense, which was exposed several over and over again throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, that tons of talent on offense, right? You love Amari Cooper, you love Michael Crabtree, but at the time Derek Carr got injured, he led the league in receptions and yardage lost due to drops. Both of those guys had their fair share of troubles this year. And while I'm not ready yet, and you can tell me what you think, I'm not ready yet to put Derek Carr in that, certainly not in like the Tom Brady category, but even like a Aaron Rodgers type. Not quite ready yet, but when he went down, it was clear he's number one, two, and three on that offense.
Absolutely. And for me, I'm going to put Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and maybe a couple others all in the same category. I will, at this point in time, I will put Derek Carr in the second tier of best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Like Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers level, you say?
Yes, I think so at this point in time. You can't blame the drops on him. Yes, they've got some receivers who didn't hang on to the ball like they should have, but I don't think receivers is what they need to look at as far as biggest needs.
It's certainly not a lack of talent at that position.
Right. Work on that. Work on mechanics. Get help in the running game, and certainly get help in the defense. You can't let teams score on you the way they did this year.
And that's the other great point, is that if it wasn't for Khalil Mack, this defense –
it could have been ugly.
Right. It could have, they could have given up 40 to 50 points a game, and that's not that much of an exaggeration.
No, it's not, and that's not a good thing at all, because you can't expect your offense to put up 35 or 40 before you have a chance to win a game.
And so, you know, where does that start exactly? Like, yeah, you could add another pass rusher. I think – we were all hoping that Aldon Smith was going to get things straightened out, because here, you know, my take on Aldon Smith is that when he's right, and it's been a long time since he's been that, but he's better than Khalil Mack. And his first 2 years of his career showed that he was more productive. He, you know, was a guy that could pretty much do everything. And I don't know that he's that level now, but you talk about putting those guys on opposite ends of one another. That makes your secondary better. It makes your linebackers better. It makes your whole defense better.
But I think Jack Del Rio...
Unfortunately, he's probably done.
And for all of his quirks and all of his bad faults, I think Mark Davis has said, we want character guys in here. And with Alden Smith, I was a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan until the day they signed Greg Hardy. Yeah. I'm like, I'm done with them. I cannot support this team and look my two daughters in the eye and say I support an owner who will hire that kind of guy. And I've heard before that, you know, NFL owners always think they can change a guy. Mm-hmm. And if Hannibal Lecter could run a 4.440, they would sign him saying, well, he's just got an eating disorder. You can't bring Alden Smith into this team right now. You just can't do it. You're on the right track. You're doing the right things. You cannot bring Alden Smith into this team right now.
And so there are, you know, guys out there, whether it's there seems to be plenty of depth in the draft at all the linebacker positions. And there are some hybrid guys that could play both inside and outside. But if you look at some of the places, aside from adding a pass rusher, DeMarcus Ware is on the market. You might be able to take a flyer on him for a year.
Right.
But where they got toasted repeatedly was mismatches with your linebackers and safeties, covering tight ends and running backs. There are options there, and I think that they should be able to build those spots through the draft. But you wonder, say, in the back end of that secondary, whether they're hamstrung a little bit. You just signed Reggie Nelson to, you know, a relatively decent contract, and you just drafted Carl Joseph. So on one hand, you kind of got to see how that plays out.
As a coordinator, there is nothing more scary than going into a game looking at the matchups on the board and saying these matchups don't look good for us, because there's nothing you can do about that. The only thing you can do about that is to change those matchups during the offseason. I was not a fan of Reggie McKenzie the first couple years he was in Oakland. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see any progress. I didn't see any movement the last couple years. And I think it was just because they had such a massive overtaking when Reggie took over to clear up all of the faults, all of the ills that they had that were brought on before he got there. I think now they're making great personnel moves. They're making good draft picks. I like Reggie in the front office. I like Jack in the coach's office. And I think this team is just if they stay healthy and they can shore up a couple things through free agency and the draft, this could be just a fantastic season,
yeah,
finally, for the Raiders.
I know. And it's not about necessarily hitting a home run with free agency either. You know, you say a name like DeMarcus Ware, you don't even have to make that big of a splash.
Right.
Just hit on a guy here or there.
But 2 or 3 years ago, you could have never even gotten some. I think it's the situation the Kings are in right now. They're not going to get a top free agent to come here. And I think top free agents now want to play for the Raiders. And that's great, considering their future is in question as far as where the franchise is going to be located. But the franchise, the foundation for the Silver and Black is just fantastic right now.
Well, I would, you know, call it across the bay, but it's not anymore. Down
right.
in Santa Clara,
right.
They're kind of in a position that Reggie McKenzie was in a couple of years ago. Now, not as bad as far as the cap goes. They've got plenty of cap space. They got plenty of draft picks.
Right.
But a complete entire teardown and rebuild there for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. I mean, where do you even start with this group? Because first off, you need a quarterback. All right, that's the number one thing. And
yep.
we threw out Jimmy Garoppolo and Tony Romo earlier. Both of those guys are going to cost you resources, whether it's money, cap space, or draft picks.
And is it worth it?
I've said this from the beginning. You may learn this about me over the next couple of days, Brian. I am an unabashed Colin Kaepernick supporter. I realize that he is not good in a lot of ways. But here's my deal with
How
him.
How can
number
you
one,
be that right now?
Because there's not a lot of other options. Here's my deal with Colin Kaepernick, okay? First off, he's the last shred of a decent memory I have left of those teams when they were good. Everybody is
Don't
gone.
Don't live in the past.
Everybody is gone.
Don't live in the past.
I am. That's all we've got so far. They've completely stripped it down. If Frank Gore is gone, they let him go unceremoniously.
Right.
He's still producing. He's going to be a Hall of Famer here in a couple of years.
You think?
If Frank Gore is not a Hall of Famer, then this whole thing is about. I mean, we know Terrell Owens should be in there.
He's not, though.
Right. Randy Moss might get held out, too. So we know the process is backwards.
You know, OJ's up for parole, too.
Yeah.
So
Darren Sharper got votes to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But, I mean, if you look at Frank Gore's numbers, they're right there with anyone. But my point is this. If you've got a guy that, in this case, I think you can bring back for – probably a low cap hit. No one's going to go spend $15 million on Colin Kaepernick. He opted out of his contract, so he's probably not going to get a huge number. If you look at, you know, just flat production level of guys, like if you want to go pay Kirk Cousins $20 million, yes, he's a better pocket passing quarterback, but he's every bit as productive in a different way as a guy like Kaepernick can be. He's not going to be the accurate guy, but for every lousy throw he makes up for it with some stupid highlight reel run. I think he gets you the yardage. He's not going to be – he has to have help around him, as it showed in 2010, 2012, those type of years. But is he a guy that can be productive at quarterback in lieu of getting a dude that's a franchise-changing guy? I think you can save money there with a stopgap for 1 year. And
but is that what you want?
Not necessarily. But I also don't want them spending $20 million on a Kirk Cousins or giving up a bunch of draft picks for Jimmy Garoppolo.
At least give me some hope for a future.
Well, yeah, that's why I think you can still draft a guy. And I mean, I don't know that you want to get Mitch Trubisky or Deshaun Watson. And
did you just drop Mitch Trubisky?
I know. I know. That's, and I can't even believe it because every year there's those guys that pop up in like the last three months of the college football season.
Right.
But that's who you're looking at. If you want to draft one of those guys, you want to throw them in there right away? I don't know. Listen, I know I'm going to take heat for loving Colin Kaepernick. He had a career year this year. And you know,
what?
He did.
Oh, stop
it. I swear he did.
Well, on what planet did he have a career year?
He had a career high or a career best touchdown to interception ratio. His quarterback rating was as high as it's ever been. His passing yardage. I'm going to pull some of this stuff up.
Well, then that's just sad.
No, I know. And they had a lousy team. But what I'm saying is that this guy is a middle-of-the-road NFL quarterback.
He's and you want him.
I'm saying that he's better than – he's as good, if not better, as a lot of the options out there for what you can spend the money on. What's on line six? People don't call line six. All right, who's the mystery guest? Super informed draft guy. What do we got?
Yeah, well, you know, don't worry about it. This call is being relayed through, like, 17 satellites right now.
Oh, I see.
Now.
Okay.
$9 a minute. Jeez, let's talk about Mitch Trubisky. Yeah.
Let's hear it. You want to hear about Mitch? What do you got, David? Aren't you on a boat somewhere?
David.
I'm in Haiti.
You're kidding.
On a boat. I swear to God, I'm on a beach in Haiti right now. It's nice yet weird at the same time because, you know, Haiti. So,
right. Classic Haiti.
Yeah. Which Nate, if you were from a country, I was thinking about you, it would probably be called Haiti. Think about it.
Yeah. Hater.
You know, because you're a hater.
Oh,
hey,
Dave.
Here's me weighing in on Mitch Trubisky. You can't draft him. I'll tell you exactly why, and this is logic. You can't. You stay as far away from him as possible. You know why? Because of the name rule. Trubisky.
I agree.
I mean, think about it.
Is this Joe Harrington waiting to happen?
Exactly. Montana. Down here in Jamaica, we were yesterday. Usain Bolt. The greats all have names. And don't throw Ben Roethlisberger at me. He's an exception. They have names. They have names that roll off the tongue. Does Trubisky... Does that make you think legend, Hall of Fame? No, it does not. It makes you think of the guy who wants to sell you a guarantee on an auto part.
Yeah, but somewhere right now there's a guy named Francis Tarkington who's taking exception to your rule.
Yeah, Dave.
You know, but even him was, you know, Fran Tarkington. You're right. That doesn't instill. But even Tarkington. Tarkington is like a. Now you got me on Tarkington. There's like one per generation, like Roethlisberger, Tarkington, those guys.
Well, I'll give you a pass on Roethlisberger because he's got a good nickname. He's Big Ben. Big Mitch isn't getting it done.
Yeah, nobody ever says, hey, Big Mitch, take me to glory. No.
I'm sorry, what?
Who is that? Okay. famous Mitches, go. Mitch Richmond.
Mitch Williams.
Okay.
Kevin Mitchell.
There. Boom. That's it. We named all three.
Captain Mitch,
what?
Channel 40 back in the day. He hosted the kid show. Sorry, one person will get that. Hey, listen.
Oh, Mitch from New Jersey on the phone line.
Great point right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll probably go right to him, though. Brian.
Yes.
Brian May.
Yes, yes.
Listen.
Hi,
David. I sent this message to you the other day. You've met my kids. You know them.
They're adorable.
When I saw Kevin announce that he was going to have somebody fill in, you know, we narcissistic, insecure radio people, we prefer amateurs to fill in. And when he said it was Brian May, I got a little worried because you're only as good as your last show. You know that. And one person's vacation can turn into another person's, you know, as they say, on the beach. So I know that we all love you, but maybe I'm not saying tank the show, Brian. I'm saying just maybe limp a little bit.
Well, we're halfway there, and I will tell you this. Kevin and I have already had a discussion involving the FCC this morning, so you're safe. And that's a true story. You're safe. That's a true story.
Did you drop a Tatanka?
Well, I almost dropped it. I stopped at Tatank. I didn't actually get to the answer.
All right, listen, I hadn't called in all week, and I had saved everybody the worry of hearing my dumb nasally voice. But I miss you, you guys. I almost said something else. I miss you guys, and we'll see you in a few days. And, Brian, we love you to death. It's great to hear you on the radio, even if I can't hear you because I'm in a third-world country. But, damn it, it's good to hear you on.
Please tell me you're wearing a Florida State Speedo right now.
You know, you're close, buddy. When I was in our first stop in Cozumel, they had these little fishing hats, and one of them had a Florida State logo with the Cozumel name on it. And, you know, touristy gringo Joe over here picked one up. So.
When I think of Haiti fishermen, you're the first one that comes to mind, always.
Hey, have a fine last hour. Nate, how's the beard?
It's growing, man. I shaved yesterday, and it's still just coming in hot.
You still married?
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
Well, you didn't ask me.
What?
You didn't ask me.
Brian, yes. I don't need to ask you. Are you kidding me? Your model gorgeous children that appear in catalogs, your beautiful wife, you are, well, I don't know how that happened with you, but listen, you're the ideal. You're the example for the rest of us, Brian May.
Enjoy your cabana oiling this morning.
Okay, buddies. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave. Oh, boy, do I miss that guy. Hey, he bailed us out there, Mitch Trubisky. Hold my feet to the fire on Colin Kaepernick.
But I don't get it.
It's irrational. But you know what? There are maybe 3-4 players in the league that can score from any position on the field on any down and distance, and he's one of them.
Colin Kaepernick.
Is he not?
Under perfect circumstances, I will give that to you.
There are a lot of lousy quarterbacks out there.
There are.
He might be one of them.
True.
I'm fine with that.
True.
But damn it.
Vince Young. You could have Vince.
Get Vince Young. You guys want to talk some basketball next? Gary St. Jean is going to join us. He'll talk some hoops. The Kings lost to the Warriors, but there's a lot more going on in the league than that when we return in 4 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.